that's your prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Open your Bibles with me. Keep Brother Andrew in prayer with the house and everything. It's not really the issue itself. It's just all the thoughts you go through and emailing, calling, talking, and I don't know. It consumes a lot of my time, at least in my head, trying to study or something and be thinking about insurance or something. So just pray for me. Get all wrapped up here soon and be done with it and just kind of move on. Praise the Lord for His goodness to us. Hebrews 6, and we flip into 2 Peter again tonight. Good to see the Russells. I was told you aren't going to be here. I don't know. All right, well, praise the Lord. You missed him. Oh, there he is. I thought I didn't see you earlier, Brother Roy. Praise the Lord. Here we are. It's good to have each one at the house of the Lord. It's good to have him in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's right, buddy. Good job, boys. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, the doctrines of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. 2 Peter, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We spoke on Sunday, if you weren't here, we spoke on building by revelation. Still talking about the original word has returned. Today I'd like to speak on building by His promises. Building by God's promises. Let's bow our heads together tonight. We respect His presence. Hallelujah. Like to lift the need up to Him in your heart. Say, Father, I believe the Word is what provides my needs. God bless each one. Let's pray. Pray your own way. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering the saints here again tonight. Lord, we could have been doing all kinds of other things. We could have been making excuses or letting the devil push us astray. But tonight, Lord, the saints of God have been able to come to the house of God and overcome those things of the world. And I pray, Lord, that You'll honor their faith to just make it to the house of God. And on top of that, to have faith in the ministry of the Word, that we don't just even sit at home and listen to tapes. But Lord, You're still alive today as You were on the tapes. You're still the same God that You said where two or three would gather together, You'd be here in the midst, Lord. Honor the people's faith today. If there's any sickness that's crept into this building, in the name of Jesus Christ, may the Word come and may it send healing to them. May it heal the soul that's brokenhearted, the discouraged. May it just be a well of encouragement, Lord. And may You have the preeminence today. Let us all step aside and not think of our lives in this world or our obligations or what we've had to do. But Father, may we set our affections on things above and think of You and all Your glory that's about to come to this earth. We come, Lord, to invest in eternal things. May You just give the revenue that You promised to us. Commit the service into Your hands now, trusting that You're a faithful God. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Then I have to take me a drink already. Let's be a little warm or something. You know, sometimes we have those days where you come to church and it just seems like you just got to fight the whole way of sister testifying there of her battle and things. And I'm just reminded of the story one time of a man. He's fighting with his wife the whole way to church and they just stewing and fussing and everything else. And well, they get to church and all of a sudden the brother starts getting the victory and he's shouting and praising and he goes up to the altar and is just having a good old time. And the wife in the back told some little lad of theirs, said, hey, go tell him, said, what are you doing up there rejoicing? I know what you're doing for church. Went up there and went to say something to the man. The man, you know, gave a message back and said, you know, I might be mad at you, but I'm not mad at the Lord. I think that's about right. You know, when you begin to think of how we come to the house of God and you say, man, I'm just discouraged tonight. I'm just beat down and everything else. And who do we take it out on? Our worship towards God, when He didn't have nothing to do with that. He didn't bring sin into this place. Maybe you're one of us, an unconfessed sin or something, bringing us down. And instead of realizing it's just our fault, we need to make it right, we'll just take away our worship. Just can't get the victory today. Who you mad at anyway? Who you happy about anyways? Who saved you anyways? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, and I'm encouraged to the Christians that still got faith, that still believe the Word. I mean, I caught, and this is no disrespect, I just have to be honest. You know, I've had that a few weeks ago where the Lord really just put it on me that He does lead and guide us. And He tells us as ministers what we need to say. As hard as it might be, and especially when you're a pastor and people, you know, I might not have the thought, but I'll catch you having the thought. He said that because of me, or he said that because of this. And you might think you might hide it, but under the anointing, you don't hide much. All right, that's just the truth of it. It ain't nothing to do with Brother Andrew. It's just the administration of the Word of God. That's the way it works. And caught wind, I don't know if you have either, that, you know, Brother Donnie down there in Tennessee, a lovely man of God. I love him with all my heart. I believe he believes the Word. But they've been having a lot of sickness down there, it sounds like. And they didn't have church tonight because of sickness in the church. They didn't have church Sunday, and they didn't have it Saturday because of sickness in the church. And as much as I like to have sympathy for things of that sort, that's all I can have is sympathy. Because last I checked, the devil don't tell God how to run his program. And I don't believe that sickness comes from God. Do you? No. The only reason there even is sickness is because man sinned. It was not something God desired. Now, if you get out of line, Christian friend, and start doing things that's wrong, God can use sickness to get you back. But that doesn't mean that that's what He wanted to do in the first place. And how bad can it be, brother, sister, that our faith, how little has it waned? That we let the devil tell us when we're having church. We say, Satan, my, you sure bring a lot of sickness. I guess we're going to have to close the doors today. Well, like I said, I respect those ministers, brothers, and everything else, but right is right and wrong is wrong. I'm here to tell you tonight, brother, sister, that we do not close the door for Satan. We do not let Satan tell us what to do. And we need to make that in all of our lives. When you have a bad day, you stop having it. Give it back to the one who made it a bad day and realize that the Lord gave you a good day, because this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, you know what? If you're sick, stay home, but the door's still going to be open and there's still going to be healing here and the devil's still going to get exposed. What if there's only one of us that still believes it? Why? Because God doesn't work in masses. I don't even care if 99% of the church is sick. If one person's showing up, we should have the doors open. Amen. And maybe I'm just a renegade. I don't know. I'm just some little young... we didn't elect a new preacher either. Some of you might have thought that. I just shaved the other day. My wife talked me into that one. And I don't know if it's going to be able to hold up either, because I've been hacking my face to pieces. I don't know how to cut this thing anymore. And then I see it spreading. You know, they say that, our brother Branham said that the church takes on the spirit of the pastor. And there's Brother Kent. He's clean now. And brother Thomas, he went down to a goatee, and Dad did too. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, y'all shaving her. No, it's all right. That's fine. But would you pray for those saints? I'm not even really praying for healing, to be honest with you. I'm saying, Lord, where's our faith? Where's the faith that, like I said, even if we are sick, we're still going to serve God. I'll tell you right now, we do not need to be afraid of sickness. This seems to be something kind of taboo anymore in the message. You know, if you got bronchitis, ooh, you better be careful and stay away. No, this is the place to be. This is the place to be. What are we afraid of getting together? We're afraid to get in the presence of God? We're afraid to have healing virtue flow around? See, that's the problem. We've put faith in men. We're coming together to hear a man. We're coming together to be with brothers and sisters. And that's all great and that's wonderful. But that's not what the prophet said. You come to the house of God to be with God. Whoo! We're not here to fellowship with one another, and I pray you didn't come here for that, because you're wasting your time. Brother Branham said, if you don't come to the church, if you don't come to church because you love the Lord, you might as well stay away. Oh, not popular, but it's the truth anyhow. I'm done with lukewarm. We've tried that. Have we not tried that long enough, and has it worked? Does lukewarm get anybody healed? Does lukewarm get anybody delivered? Does lukewarm bring the power of Pentecost back to the church? No, it takes all out the Word of God. Wherever He is, there I am also. Glory to God. It's time to just be sold out. It's time to make the Word our absolute. That if I believe God's Word, I don't care if I'm snotting, snorting, dying, whatever. Get me in the presence of the Lord. And look, some souls saints back there before Jesus, or before God even gave the Holy Ghost, there were some saints that had enough faith that said, Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died. And here we are. God heals our sick. God raises our dead. God delivers on time. God is just like He's almost like a checklist sometimes, isn't it? You just pray and He checks them off. He just keeps checking them off. And yet, for some reason, we'll come up with some little thing that tells us why we can't come to church today. God help us. Come on, brother, sister. I don't know why we're going this route. You see my notes ain't turned nowhere, and I ain't turned no pages either. We're just getting the Word where it needs to be. The Holy Spirit came, and we know just in a few services ago, I just kept dragging on service, and I knew it myself. I said, what in the world am I doing? But I just couldn't stop service, and then the Holy Spirit told me, there's still a devil in this place. Called that thing out. You might not know it either, but the presence of God came right here and delivered that thing right on spot. That's right, brother, sister. See, when we think that sometimes, oh, come on now, we don't realize that we're sons of God. We think we're just little peons just growing and just trying our best and scraping around. You're a son of God. And if you're a son of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. These aren't just little nuanced thoughts that you have when the power of God tells you to go pray. When the power of God tells you, expose the devil. When the power of God tells you, Satan's crept into the house. We need to fast and pray. I think that would be a better choice than canceling service. How about we're not going to eat today. We're going to fast and come to the house of God and pray until this devil gets out of the church. Where's that? You know why? Faithless generation we've become. And I say we as the universal body of Christ, because I don't think we can just say, well, poor brother Donnie just ain't got it, and we're over here and we got it. You get that attitude, you ain't got it. That's still our brothers and sisters. That's still they're our family. We still care about them, and I believe they're going to make it. We just need a revival. And I know it's the bride's revival. We ain't praying to bring it on. We're praying to just get in it, because it's already here. When God said He would restore, He meant it. When He told us how He'd do it, He did not lie. He said, I will send Elijah the prophet, and He'll turn your hearts. He will. Back to your fathers. Hallelujah. Jesus said that He will come and restore all things. And He did it. Glory to God. And here we are. The image has been presented back. Brother Ram preached it as the masterpiece. God's masterpiece. We know it was Jesus Christ on earth. It was all of God, the fullness of Godhead bodily right there. Everything He did was a perfect reflection of God the Father and what He would do. And then God has gone through 2,000 years to build another masterpiece, which we are looking at the image in perfect clarity in this age, to where even Paul couldn't see like you and I do. To where he said, we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face, then the sons of men will be looking the Son of Man in the face. We've got the perfect image there, and it's sitting right here to my left. I believe you all believe that. The stature of a perfect man, I believe that's Jesus Christ. It's no one else. It's not us trying to refine ourselves and getting a chisel, some spiritual chisel out, and we're going to knock off everything else. That ain't the way it works. I just need to become what I am. And just everything else will fall away. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. We talked about on Sunday. You have to build by revelation. You can't build by intellect. You can't build by memorizing quotes. You can't build by getting legalistic. You can say amen. You ain't got to wait for a good time. All right? If you hear it and you believe it, say amen tonight. Because we need to preach the Word of God and get this devil out of our lives that tells us we can do it some other way. God's way is the only way. And He only works by revelation. We need to pray for revelation more than anything. We need to stop acting without revelation. We need to stop making decisions where you know you got to check in your heart and you just blow right over it anyway. You're not moving by revelation because revelation is faith. Faith is a revelation. When you know you're walking in the will of God, you're not afraid. You don't get weird feelings and bells going off. It's just smooth sailing. Why? Because you're a son of God being led by the Spirit of God and it's right in harmony with the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. The perfect image has been restored to us, and we talked about building by revelation. But I'd like to speak on tonight is building by His promises. Now, we know what promises are, but the problem is we equate it to how a man gives a promise. A man says, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. I promise you I'll be there. And he ain't there. I'll be there 7 sharp. What do you mean, tomorrow? Amen. How frustrating it is because about the only person who even can keep time anymore is the Christian. Nobody else seems to care because it's good enough. And that's too much of our religion, I think, just good enough religion. Well, I cracked the Bible for a little while. That's good enough. I prayed for a few minutes. That's good enough. God help us. Maybe if you're getting beat up, so is Brother Andrew. I'm telling you that right now. Don't look at me like I'm coming at you with a lash. It's just the Word coming. That's right. But the Word is a sword now. Don't you think it ain't a pillow that we sit under our heads and say, yep, I'm just such a great Christian. No, it's a sword. It's a sword that cuts down into the marrow between the bones. It literally separates you from you. And that's what I want. I don't know if you've identified it yet, but I found my worst enemy. And it ain't Brother Dan, I'll tell you that right now. It's not even my dad, all right? It's this guy behind the pulpit. That's right. There ain't no pride to Christianity when you're a real son of God, you know. You know who you got to overcome. But if you can just take care of that guy, you don't have no problems on the outside no more. That's the way Paul said it. He said, we got tribulation, persecutions, and I've been out in the sea and everything. That's all, you know, that's just the way it is, you know. But then he said, this wretched man that I am, who shall separate me from this flesh? When I want to do good, evil's right there. Amen. But, in the midst of all that, they were given, if you look right there at 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I think it'd do us a good time tonight to go find out what these promises are. Because if you look at what he says, whereby, or that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So as much as we try to be legalistic, as much as we try to be good enough, as much as we try to tell God how to get this done in my life and how I'm going to overcome, the Bible already done told you, you don't build the divine nature that way. You build it off God's promises. And when God promises something, He had a long time to think about it before He said it. He had so much time there was you couldn't even put time to it. He made the decision, so He's going to fulfill His promise. Let's open our Bibles then. Let's turn around a few scriptures here. Ephesians 1, verse 4. We'll start at 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now let's just skip to 11 for a minute. In whom we also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And praise God, Christian, if you can just get a revelation tonight that you being in the image of Jesus Christ, you being an adopted son of God, walking in the authority of a son of God, is not only your will, but it was God's a long time before yours. The Gospels were the framework to build the book of Acts because God so wanted to live in His people. He took four anointings. We know that the four Gospels that came and He pulled out redemption to protect you and I. To protect the Holy Ghost and His people. Look, He put His guard down on Himself and says, you can blaspheme the Son of Man. That's all right. But when the Holy Ghost has come, one word against it won't be forgiven. Why? That's my children. Amen. Don't you call them devils. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Why? It's my will that they be like me. That they be adopted back as Adam was when he came off my hand. Oh, glory. When God predestinated the bride, understand now, God knows all things. He had a foreknowledge, but God did not desire death. God did not desire sin. God did not like what the devil did. But He knew it happened. But predestination, church, when God looked down, this is how He expressed what He wanted done. And what was it? To come to your house. When you hit rock bottom and say, you ain't got a friend in the world, but I'm coming to you. Why? Because you're my son. And I can't look at you down, just groveling on the ground. I'm here to adopt you back in my family. Amen. Glory to God. And not just like what we do over here in the West where, you know, you'd be born under somebody else and I adopt you over. That's kind of how it was when we got converted. I'll say that. We were out there looking like a devil child. And somebody had to come buy us out of the pawn shop. Praise God, Jesus Christ did that. And He did it without asking me. Thank the Lord. Because if I'd asked Him, I'd probably have been like Peter. You ain't going no cross. You ain't going to do that for me. Just too proud to realize my need for Him. I'm glad He didn't listen to me. I'm sure Peter's glad he didn't listen to his idea. Why? Because it wasn't based on revelation. He had just said revelation a little bit ago who Christ was. He had done lost it because he didn't get the Holy Ghost yet. But when it was time, he looked at Peter. He just denied him a few days ago. He just wept bitterly. But when God said, I'm going to give the keys to somebody to go open the kingdom, he handed it right to Peter without blinking. Why? His will was to predestinate him to be the Son of God he was. Amen. And not just anyone, the one that would take the keys and unlock the gospel unto all ages, Amen. Unto all peoples. Aren't you grateful tonight? Hallelujah. Romans 8. I could literally preach a sermon on every one of these scriptures I'm about to read. I'm going to try not to. Y'all pray for me. That would be a miracle. Romans 8, 28. We'll just start there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to what word is that there? His purpose. Glory to God. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So right there as we step, and I know you went through the phase, I have too. I think every Christian almost has to do it. When you first get converted, you're just zealous, man. You're just ready. You're just going to go, you're going to convert the world, you're going to heal everybody, you're going to take out the devil. And you want to hold on to some of that. But a lot of times we go a little overboard and we got the gas on the ground. And the Lord says, hey, this ain't a sprint now. It's He that endures to the end. He that holds on to the Word. He that listens to what the Father says. Look, Jesus could have went to the pool of Bethesda and just went and healed everybody and we got a bunch of glory and everything else. But the will of the Father was there's only one lame man down there I want to heal today. Don't you go and trying to figure out God's will. He's already got it written out. You follow it. That's right. Who He foreknew. The ones that He foreknew, He predestinated us. He wanted us to be in His very image. And instead of taking the stature of perfect man and saying, oh my, I'm going to have to get patient somehow. Just got to get it. Got to get my temperance, and we'll go and we'll try to be a legalist about it. And I keep hitting this for some reason, so that's all right. And part of that, I think Brother Ram talks about Ruth. She had, you know, her little legalistic period there too, where she was going after everything. But then she had to come back and realize, I need something greater than this. I need a kinsman. I need somebody I'm related to. And when we go and we tried to be sons of God. We tried, even after you get the Holy Ghost. Like I said, you get a zeal and you want to do all these things. But yet you haven't learned to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. You just got that bullhead. I'm just going to do it. And then you begin to learn that that don't always pan out right. The devil come by and condemn you and everything else. And then you'll get down and say, how in the world am I ever going to do this? But then God will bring His Word that I just read to you. And say, look a minute, boy, let me say something. You are predestinated to be conformed to the image of my Son. You ain't got nothing to do with this. I am the master builder. I am the one that's going to shave the clay off. You have no part in that. You know our only thing to do to overcome? Get out of the way. And we say it, and we say it, and we say it, but I'm praying tonight. Oh God, open our eyes that without us stepping aside and letting You do things, we're just beating at the air. Even when it comes to overcoming yourself, you ain't got a chance. You can't land one punch on the devil without the Holy Spirit. If you can only realize, Brother Andrew, some of these services here recently, just especially, I literally, you know, physically I'm standing here, but I'm like, I'm over here somewhere. I don't know what's going on. But I'm just he's just over here in the control tower, and he's just running the things he wants done. And then that's faith, is get out of the way. Get out of the way. If we understood the prophet, how dependent he was on the Holy Spirit coming and doing those works. He wasn't just bluffing, as many thinks he was. He wasn't just putting on that he was some, you know, just working up something. No, he was dependent. The prophet could not see a vision of his own will. That's right. You can't get a discernment of your own will. You can't get a tongue of your own will or interpretation or all these things. It's the will of God. But that will is here. Okay, we don't got to go find it. Let me keep reading here for a minute. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, have you been called tonight? Amen. Well, then take this home tonight. Take it home. I've been called. That means I was predestinated. What else does it mean? Then I'm also justified. To where the prophet could say, it's just as if you never did it in the first place. So quit digging that stuff back up. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. God sees you as you were before the foundation of the world. And He is taking that image and with His hand of love is forming you right now back into that image. He doesn't need your help. Actually, you're just going to mess things up. Whom He called, He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? How do you cap this sermon? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what we've got to get down. That's the foundation we need to lay, that God is for me. When I was a renegade, when I was doing what I wanted to do, somebody put the brakes on. When I was trying to blaze a million miles an hour, something put a roadblock and I couldn't go. When I wanted to fly off the handle and probably kill somebody, say, kill somebody. The prophet had that happen to him. Kill somebody. Kill some boys. Kill himself. God have mercy, but that's the truth. He had that gun right there and he would have pulled it on himself, but God wouldn't have allowed it to happen. Why? That was a son. And he wasn't conformed into the image of the Son of God yet. Couldn't take him off the scene. What about that other time when he was up there on the lines and said, hey, or Hope and Rose Sharon, I'm coming home. I'm coming home to meet you. Look, and you say, oh, if somebody commits suicide, they're going to hell. You're predestinated. Look, there's nothing you can do about it. Some people would say that Samson committed suicide. How else did he die? Did somebody else kill him? Come on now. He pulled the building on himself and killed himself. You think he's lost? See, that's a good Catholic doctrine. Now, I will say this. You ain't under the right influence. Samson didn't want to be where he was. All right. But God will take what we'll give him. If all you've got is the last less breath of life, I want to use it to say, praise God! And then I'll die happy. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you happy for the predestination of God? Aren't you happy? And how much more that the blinders have been pulled aside? That God took the seals and just ripped them right open for you. Let the prophet go in there, take that hidden word, and just preach it from the housetops. People think the seventh seal wasn't open. Oh, it wasn't for everybody. It wasn't preached when everybody was listening. He waited for those that would actually receive it. You say, well, that's kind of selfish. Well, what about your Lord? Why do you speak to them in parables? It's not given to them to know the mysteries. See, God's a little bit more efficient than you and I. We go and we try and we do this and we fail. God don't do that. He's got a perfect purpose in everything that He does. Why'd you go through what you did today, brother, sister? It was perfectly ordained for one purpose, that you would be conformed into the image of the Son of God. Now, that's the thing. That's a promise. That is God's promise that He signed with His own blood. When He was trying to promise to Abraham that he would have a son, He was looking around. Say, well, I could swear by the moon. I could swear by an angel or something like that. But He said, that's not good enough. I want to find the greatest I can. And He couldn't find nobody else. So you know what He did? He said, fine, I'll swear by myself. Who said it was finished, you or me? Who laid down their life? You, yours, or His? Who killed Jesus Christ? He said, no man takes my life. I give it freely. You know, when the Bible says that Jesus gave up the ghost, it literally means like He gave it up. The rest, when it talks about a normal man, it's like he just had to release it, like it was forfeited, but not Jesus. The tense it's talking about is a man willingly handing it down. Why? Because of the Scripture. You say, well, it wasn't wrote yet. Yes, it was. The Word was wrote. Before there was a world, before there was a thought, it was already there in the Logos. God was already existing, eternal, with all of His thoughts, and it was already decreed. My sons must be conformed to my image. Because that's the way He made them. They came out that way, and He said, Satan's come, and he's distorted the picture. That's why we've been adopted, but we're still waiting for adoption, because we're not in the perfect image yet. A son of God don't have gray hair, Brother Roy. I'm trying to be nice. We don't get bald. We don't get fat. We don't get, well, I don't know, maybe something a little bigger or something, but I think it'll be perfect. Sin and sickness and shame and confusion and all this stuff, that's not the image of a son of God. But if you can get a revelation that your soul, when you receive the Holy Ghost, is already in that image. And that is the control. That is you. You are a soul. You have a spirit, and you live in a body, but you are a soul. That is literally your makeup. So when you identify with the Word of God, it makes sense. Let my flesh prosper as my soul does. What? Souls don't go up and down and all this. It's just right here at the, well, I ain't got a hand high enough because we've been in that condition the whole time. Glory to God. Why? God already had it predestinated. The Holy Ghost was for you and me. Amen. To see who we were. Yep. Glory. John 14. Just preach a sermon every time. We'll just do it that way. John 14. You enjoying the Word tonight? Amen. Praise God. I just love feeling His presence. I love just that rejoicing of His Spirit in the house of God. Verse 4, or just right 14, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. I love Jesus. He just knows what to say and when to say it. You came with a troubled heart. I'm here to tell you the Word knew you'd have it. So Jesus already provided for it. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because, well, let's just read it. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. What's he saying there? You believe in who God was and before the foundation of the world and who he is. But you've also got to believe that he's being manifested right now in your midst. See, it's good to have a God of history to stabilize our experience and know that He was God there, He was God there, He was God there, He was God there. But that's not good enough if He's not God today. It does you no good to serve a God of Moses if He's not God today. That's why He said you believed in God, but you need to also believe in me. Hallelujah. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That is a promise. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. Because Jesus never lowered himself from the word. He was always speaking the word. He always called for his disciples to come up to the word. That wasn't him being a legalist. It was him being truthful. You have to come to the word of God. You keep reading here. He just told them, you know the way. You know the place I'm going to. Why? The new place is that new body. That's what I believe with all my heart. That's what I need. I just need a new tabernacle. Wherever Jesus is, that's great, but I need something that sin can't affect no more. I need something where it's an absolute, the word all the time, every thought is just Jesus. And you might not see it, but I believe it's about right here, right now. Moving just a little bit faster than me. What's it saying? Keep pressing. Keep believing. Keep trusting in the promises of God. Brother Branham would talk many times. I'm just following the inspiration tonight. My goodness. Brother Branham would talk many times of prayer lines coming through, and I quoted something very similar. He said, some just struggling so hard to try to believe it, and they just can't seem to believe it. And some just walk by grace and just receive it. Why? They're building their faith on God's promises. Not on what they've done, not on what they haven't done. Not what they, you know, did I worship right? Did I say this right? How about you just quit that and fall in love? And just start praising Him. No matter what you feel like, no matter what somebody else did, no matter how much you hate that preacher, how much that other person sitting there just bugging you, you need to get that funny feeling out of your life too, because it's a cancer. That's worse than having cancer, I believe. Having a bitter heart and, oh my, just ruined your whole experience right there. You won't be able to do nothing. But God already prepared a place. He's already given us a body. He's already paved the way to get there. And here we are in time where all of this has been restored back. The prophet wasn't trying to paint a picture of something we could never be. Jesus wasn't painting a picture of something we could never be when he said, be ye therefore perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. What was he saying? What we're reading right now. He's going to prepare the place. How many knows how to build heaven? Aren't you glad he just went and go ahead and did it for you? Thank you, Lord. John 6. (clears throat) 35. Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Can you say amen to the word of God? Amen. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Amen. Then why are we still hungry? Why are we still thirsty? You say, well, the Bible says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Read the whole scripture. That we're blessed that we're hungry and thirsty, and we just keep hungry and thirsting, and we just never eat. No, we're supposed to get filled. Why? Because we get to Him. And He gives us manna from heaven. He gives us the well of living water. Remember He said that he that comes to me shall never thirst. But He wasn't talking about just a well sitting over there on Jacob's plot. He was saying they will receive the Spirit. That when you can just get a Christian to get a hold of that Spirit and to get a hold of that Word and just put it together with a big heart of faith, they're unstoppable. They don't work it up. They don't pump it up. They just are. They don't have to make themselves believe. They're already believing. As remember, the sink was shipping the ship was sinking and everybody's getting all frolicky, and there's a woman sitting over there just as calm as can be. Why? She's already prayed up. She was already in the promise of God that if the ship's going to fail, it doesn't matter. I'm not. Because Satan, just like Paul said, death, where is your sting? You think you scare me, devil? Some of us, if we'll be honest with ourselves, we're terrified of the devil. Oh man, if I really start serving Him, you know, maybe I'll get sick, or maybe this trial will come. And I know what the Bible says. It says that the trials are worth more than precious gold. And I kind of like this smooth living. Satan will keep you comfortable until he pulls the rug out from underneath you. And he can't help but do it. He can't let you be too happy. He hates you too much. That's right. How many? You might not say it with your lips, but you've kind of made a little deal with him. I'll allow this thing in my life, and you know, and you don't realize you're really making a deal with the devil in your house. And you kind of put up with it for a little bit, and you think, well, it just helps me to relax, you know. Instead of reading your Bible, I'll just watch some football instead. And you think, oh my goodness gracious. Okay, you just felt what I did, but that's okay. You're really making a little deal with the devil, and he'll let you feel good for a while. But then after a while, you just have that emptiness. Why? Because all it is blowed up food. It ain't real. It looks good. It's covered in sugar, so you can put it down. But when it gets down in there, it's got no substance. Before you know it, you're starving to death. That's the condition of the whole world. The difference is their minds are so corrupted, they've convinced themselves that they're not empty, that they're not blind, that they're not naked. But if you receive the Holy Ghost, you can't do that. You can't. How can you go back to being blind when you've got sight? You've been given sight. You see it. How can you be deceived when you know all things? It'd just be better to quit being a black old hypocrite and just come back to the Word. Just make it easy on yourself. 35. Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Did you catch that promise now? All that God has given will come to me. And when you come with that pull of predestination moving on your heart, you begin to come to him. We think he'll cast us out. Then he says, no, the door's wide open. Why? Because I was the one pulling first. We didn't come seeking God. God was seeking us. He was the one convicting us, not to hurt us, to bring us to himself. And we finally said, God, I'll seek you. He was just waiting to hear it. And we go to look, and God, open your eyes and quit listening to a devil's lie. All the doors to heaven are wide open. We think there's a flaming sword keeping the way there. No, no, no. It's keeping the line bared off. Say, go this way. Go this way. What way? Him. He is the way. And he's the Word. And he's been restored. We don't have to guess who he is. He's on tapes. He's right here in this book right here. He's right there when you get down on your knees and pray. He's right there. Wherever I am, there will my servant be. Glory. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. We've been talking about God's will tonight. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's God's will now tonight. It was God's will to give us everlasting life. Do you see the Son? Do you believe on him? That's all it took for that one man. Remember, that was his only concern. I believe it was the impotent man or the blind man. One of them got healed, and he didn't know who it was. And Jesus came, and he told him it was him. And he said, Lord, who is the Lord that I may worship him? He said, it's he that talks to you. And he said, he bowed down and worshiped him right there. That's all he was concerned with. That's where we need to get. It's not, Lord, what's my will? Let me work it with yours. It's, God, where are you? Wherever you are, that's where I want to be. It doesn't matter. Like what Brother Bradley preached, Jesus, where are you going? It's not so much of where are we going, it's where is he? Where is he? Where's the Word? And wherever the Word is, that's where I need to be. But if you're a son of God, wherever the Word is where you are, because you are the Word. See, people are looking for him to manifest. You don't need to call him down. Where is he? He's in me. I think I just stole a quote. That's what I did. I knew I got that somewhere. I got to be honest when I steal some, you know. Aren't you grateful for that? We didn't have to make it. God gave it to us. I guess it ain't stealing when it's given, is it? That's right. I just said, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read you this. Rising in the sun. If I can get myself out of the way, so when William Branham, not even thought of, and you're not even thought of, till we can see Jesus glorified among us. See Him. That's our desire. That gives the quickening power, and it gives us joy to know that we are with Him, both flesh and bone of Him, being the bride of Him, and seeing His same vindicated methods, proving in us that He is now risen from the dead. See? No wonder He said, "Fear not." For now, notice, we are redeemed by Him and now risen with Him. That's what Easter means to the people. Risen with Him. Notice, we have His Spirit in us, the abstract deed fully paid. We say quotes like that, don't we? We've got the abstract title deed and we're trying to go get and everything else. You received the Holy Ghost. That was God handing the Word back to you. What do you think the Holy Ghost is? It's the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. You can't separate it. And God has handed it right back to you. Why? You're holy and blameless before Him in love. Why? Because we're in Him. We're in the Holy One. And not only do we were always in Him. What a glorious thought to get that across. And all God had to do was pay the way that our sin would get out of the way and we could see what we were. Glory. And He did it fully. He did it without even asking. Thank you, Lord. No, you don't say, "Well, I hope I make it." And that's about the faith of most of us. I hope I make it. I hope I've done enough. I hope I've done this or that. That's the problem. You're trying to hope on something you've done. That ain't God's promise. And don't you go on some promise that's given for another group. We're talking about the predestinated. We're talking about those saved by grace. I ain't even talking about mercy. I ain't talking about those that's done good works and all that. That's on a whole different plane. This is the bride. This message came to get a bride ready. It wasn't here for the foolish version. They've rejected it. That's all it came for them, was to turn it down. Come on now. And all the way, Israel and everything, that was fine, but it's really for the purpose of finding the bride. And the bride will get the revelation that it was nothing she did. It's nothing she's doing. Before the world was, God married her. Hallelujah. And if you believe that He died, went down into death, and rose again, then you have to believe that you are already risen with Him. Amen. Now you don't say, "Well, I hope I made it." You've already made it. Not, "I will make it." I've already made it. I never made it. He made it for me. See? Not me, Him. Well, Brother Branham, they say, I don't care what they say. There, He made it for me. That's all I want. I'm caring about. God, give us revelation tonight. If God approves of me, what do I care? What do I care about brother over here, sister over here, this person, that person? They hate me. They don't like me. I got to worry about what I preach because somebody came to church today that might believe something else. Forget all that. The Word came to me. And it showed me my name in the Word. And it showed me that it wasn't just there, but it was sealed on. To where it couldn't get erased off. A book of grace. Hallelujah. That's all I want, I'm caring about. I just want to see Him manifested. Can you say amen? Now let me keep reading. How can you do it? Call Him down? No, He's in you. He is in you. Well then, Lord, if I can get myself out of the way, you can manifest. How do you do it? Because you ordained it. Talk to the Lord. You ordained it so. See, we get too much of our own ideas, even on how God works. He has to work this way or that way. Look, He chose to work through you. And if we had the choice, we could have sat down and had a little counsel with the Lord. We said, "Lord, do not do that." You can try to trust me? See, the foolishness of God is still greater than the wisdom of men. It is. It does. And I believe God does it on purpose. Why? It shows you how smart He really is. Look, He's tricked the devil every single time. The devil can never figure it out. So He's just, God, just, we think He should just be out there in the open. But that's not becoming really to His character. Why? You give me a good storytelling that just tells you everything right off the bat. No, it gets you the suspense up. It begins to raise things up. to where even God, He brings a prophet, He opens the seals, yet we're still here in time, 50 years later. Even a prophet, probably, well, we know that. He said 77 ought to wrap it up. And they even said, you know, he would make certain comments like on year 2000, that would be all that would be left. And here we are. Why? Because God allows it to get that way. You know what really to do? To figure out who really believes. Who really just has a pure foundation of faith. That isn't building on some experience. Just some experience that they had in life. But it's building their experience that was on the Word of God. It says, God, you gave me the Holy Ghost. I know I have to raise again from the dead. And I'm building upon that promise. I don't know why we're still here 50 years after the prophet. But I know that I know that I know this word's right. You can't talk me out of it. They said the same thing in every age. And Christian friend, don't you get discouraged. Don't you have those kind of thoughts. That's strictly from the devil himself. He's done it in every age. Even to where Jesus is dead in the grave. And Peter's so filled with unbelief. He says, let's just go fishing again, boys. We're done. Done sold his life away for 3.5 years to give it up in 3.5 days. That shows you the stability of a man. But the word still was fulfilled. In the book of John, I've been reading through, and I've told you how inspired I've been getting. How many times John has to come in there and say, he talks about a story, and he'll say, but it was kind of after the fact when we figured out what happened. He said this, but it wasn't until after he rose from the dead that we finally realized what he was talking about. So why does God do it that way? I don't know. But it sure makes a story, doesn't it? There's no story as good as this gospel story. Oh, it's so beautiful. To where even God does end up telling the end. And the devil still can't win. Could you imagine knowing the end of the story, but there's nothing you can do to change it? Now, that's pretty bad for the devil. That's pretty good for us. Can we build on that promise tonight that when God came to me and gave me the Holy Ghost and He quickened me, not just to anything, I was quickened to the Word of the end time. That means to me, I was predestinated. Amen. And I'll be predestinated to conform to His image. And Christian friend, for us to become the sons of God. How many's got that desire on the inside? You just know it. You just feel it. It pulsates everything you do. Yet too many times we just channel it the wrong way. And we try to become legalists or we get so lax we don't do nothing. And we just go one way or the other. You know that's right. Corinthians went one way, didn't they? We're just all saved and do whatever we want. Every little feeling I have is great. Galatians went the other way. And Paul just said, you foolish Galatians, have you begun in the Spirit, be perfected in the flesh? So it goes wrong either way. But there wasn't a group of Ephesians that he could say, before the foundation of the world, you guys right here were predestinated. Not to anything, but to the adoption of sons, to Jesus Christ Himself, to wherever He is you would be. And what does he close out the book of Ephesians with? Put on the armor of God now. And the entire armor of God, what is it? It's supernatural. It's not a legalistic approach. It's a love approach. It's falling in love with Jesus and say, Lord, I want to serve you. And it'll produce what we're going to be talking about, Lord willing, next few services here. Does anybody want to say that, Father? I'm sorry tonight. But I've built too many things on other reasons besides your promise. But tonight, I want to take my life and put it right back on the promise of God. And let's start afresh. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. E flat, Dad. I got a bunch in E flat. He touched me. Can we sing that? 93. Oh, praise God. Dad, you go ahead and lead that. As that hums that, let me read you one quote here. Listen closely. Let's just get in the Spirit as we begin to change the order of the service now. The anointing of the Holy Ghost here tonight. The only ones at the end time, 65. I want you to know this is sure. When you listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing. no more than just a voice. My voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to you to do, that I declare to do and determine to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when He appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect they are. I'm only one that's near when He does it. I was only a voice that He used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that He spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no. It was the manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, His message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was the messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He is the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, His words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. If you haven't fed fully on every word, to give yourself strength to fly above all these denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it while we pray? Let's bow our heads. Can't say it any better than He did. Christian, if you see yourself bound by sin or even legalism or any form of unbelief tonight, and the devil's pushed you off the promise of God, you say, Lord, the only reason that's happened is because I'm not feeding on the Word like I need to be. I need to be believing the Word and not this devil's lie. Say, Lord, that's me. Forgive me tonight and feed me to the full with the Word. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sis. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. God bless you, sis. God bless you, sister. Praise His name, hands all over the place. Hallelujah. People looking for revival. And this is the bride's revival. The prophet even said it when she begins to get back to that word. Hallelujah. You've received the Holy Ghost. It's time to build on the promise of God. He that's begun a good work in you is faithful to finish it. Praise His name. Now get your confession right. You say what the Word says. If you've got to hang your head in shame, the devil's got that black curtain on you, oh, he's there. And if there's something you need to confess, you need to do that now in God's presence and make that thing right. Get that thing out of your life by the blood of the Lamb until where it's gone and God can take the burning from you and restore you back to fellowship. It wasn't God's fault Saul got out of fellowship. It wasn't God's fault He had to send an evil spirit. That was Saul's fault. All Saul would have had to do was say, Lord, I'm sorry I got jealous. Sorry I got an attitude. How many times we bury our experience away because we try to justify some rotten attitude we had. It goes from top to bottom, church. Gospel speaks of everyone. Tells fathers, don't provoke the children to wrath. Tells children, obey your parents in all things. There ain't no age limit either way, brother, sister. The word's still true. God bless us. Humble hearts that's here tonight. Thank you, Lord. If there's anything I want, even as a pastor, God, give me people that get right with you. Don't worry about someone else. Ain't trying to be flashy or just trying to show off. But they just love the Lord. And they just want to be right. And they just want to fall more in love with Him all the time. Brother, you can't do that with an evil heart of unbelief. That's why the Bible said it was your heart. Because when the unbelief gets in your heart, it makes you cold. It makes you formal. It makes you indifferent. And you begin to pull away from God. But you get a heart that gets taken, that stony heart taken out, and a heart of flesh put in by the Spirit, then the Holy Ghost can begin to woo itself over that person. Hallelujah. He's doing it right now. Praise His name. from the littlest to the greatest. He's working. Thank you, Lord. Just believe His word now for yourself. Let's just pray. Let's talk to Him with all our hearts. Let's just have a little communion with the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the manifestation of the Son of Man that's here tonight in this place, where You've made Yourself known again, as You promised, right here in the bride's body. We feel Your presence all around. We feel You in our souls. As You begin to shine Your light and pull darkness away, I see, Lord, those Christians raising their hands and getting right, and the Holy Spirit coming and restoring fellowship. Lord, how I appreciate that tonight. How I appreciate the humble hearts that's here, that the Word of God can still get to. I pray, Lord, that all unbelief, all effects of unbelief would be exposed by the light of the gospel. That, Lord, Your promise was to conform us into Your image, Lord. And there's no sin in Your image. God is light. Thank You, Lord. You're the Father of lights, and in Him is no darkness at all. Father, may that image now come into our lives in a way greater than it's ever been. May we be conformed into that image, Lord, wherever we might be in life. Lord, we know it's already all in us. When You gave us the Holy Ghost, You quickened everything we'd ever need for life's journey. Too many times, Lord, we just let the devil give us unbelief. Well, we hand that rattlesnake right back to Him and live in peace with You once again. Restore the backslider tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Deliver those that have been oppressed by the devil. And may they have peace from the Son of Peace. Lord, for those sick in body, as I believe the unction's here, may every sickness leave, every person under the sound of my voice, and by the name above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, you've been exposed tonight. You can't rule in these Christians any longer. Get out of this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe it, Father. And we raise our hands in praise to You. Thank You for being faithful. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You. If He touched you, can we sing? Whoa, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy. Oh, you got joy tonight. Touch my soul. Sing it with all your heart. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, something happened. And now I know He touched me and made me. If you don't know this verse, just listen, worship, check. Ooh, I was shackled by a heavy bird. That's past tense now. Christ has come. Thank You, Lord. I was gave the load of guilt and shame. Drop your guilt tonight. Thank You, Lord. But then the hand of Jesus touched. Oh, the Son of Man in the building tonight. Thank You, Lord. And now I am. You say amen. Thank You, Lord. I'm no longer the same. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Thank You, Jesus.
have met this blessed Savior. Aren't you grateful?
Oh, since I met this blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me whole.
Oh, don't you just want to praise Him?
Let's just take a moment and worship Him. Hallelujah. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And I feel the Spirit moving different. Don't doubt Him now. That's the Holy Spirit in the building tonight. As far as preaching, I'm done tonight. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. He's never wrong, church. He's never wrong. You believe Him tonight. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Just be who You are in the Lord now. Oh, there's so much joy in this room. Just love on Him tonight. Can we do that? Can we just appreciate Him? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Just think on that beautiful face. Remember when you first met Him. And when there was nothing else in life that mattered. Christian, don't let the devil paint something up better that looks better than Christ. It ain't there. It's just false. It's a lie. That image of the Son of God is the most glorious thing there's ever been. Oh, hallelujah. Just have that real heart of worship tonight. However you worship, just put your whole heart into it. Lord, You're everything to me. Lord, if I'm the only one that still believes Your word, I love You too much to leave You now. Oh, praise God. There's an unction in the room tonight. Lord, let's just be patient in His presence. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. God, have the preeminence in our lives tonight. Jesus, quicken each one, Lord. Fill us anew with Your presence. All the doubt and fear be gone, Lord. We walk as we're supposed to. Show each one who they are, Lord. Give revelation to the sons of God tonight. You're so beautiful, Lord Jesus. I love You, Lord. You're everything to me. Just give my heart to You. Thank You, Jesus. Have faith now. Believe.
believe and do what he tells you to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Oh, yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
He touched you now, so don't get shackled up again. You've been set free. Don't take any unbelief. Don't take any doubt, any fear. Just drop all that. How quickly we revert right back to that, feeling worthless and shameful. I don't want none of that. He took care of that. He nailed it to a cross for you. There's no fellowship when you've got shame. There's no fellowship when you're guilty and all you do is say, Lord, I'm just not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Remember, you don't get nothing from God doing that. You've got to believe Him. When He said, I love you, that He meant it. He don't got to come by and prove it every 2 seconds all the time. But you can hold on for a little while of faith and say, Lord, I know you love me. I know I go through hard times. I know I've had trials and things and made mistakes. But Lord, all of that, your love is still shining. I still believe you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you'd like hands laid on you tonight, come forward now. Just there's a faith here. I don't even have to ask. Trust in yours, you're free. Worship, worship, worship.
Give glory, all ye people, for you.
Lord, bless this word in the name of Jesus Christ.
God. Lay my hands on my brother. He can have his requests and things. If you agree on any one thing, you do it. My brother's asked, they're very important. He wants revelation. Revelation to him of the will of God in his life, what he ought to do to serve you. You're a faithful God. We ask, we shall receive. We receive it tonight. Give it to my brother, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Worship.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory. Praise you, Lord.
To say to that.
Grateful tonight. Can we give my hand clap of praise and worship? Hallelujah.